Hey, kids. It's just me, Ben. I thought I'd just do an impromptu show. Because I can. And because we haven't put a show out for a while, and I thought, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? So enjoy the worst that can happen. Hello, the absolute peach, obviously. I've just noticed how it seems more echoey in here when it's just me. Is that an obvious thing to say? Like, if you have more bodies in a room, do they just soak up the sound? Like, the fact that Joe sits sort of opposite me, does he absorb more of the echo? That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Really weird. Anyway, yeah, so we haven't done a show for a while, and it's just, there's nothing more annoying to me than setting out to do something with the best of intentions, and it just, for whatever reason, doesn't happen. It's like setting a New Year's resolution. Like, don't ever make a New Year's resolution, because it's always not going to work. To be honest. I mean, that kind of sounds really defeatist. I'm not saying don't ever plan and try and do stuff, but don't ever set a New Year's resolution. Because you usually set them when you're inebriated, when you've, you know, you're feeling on a high, like you're feeling really, really good. Don't ever make promises to anyone, especially not yourself, when you're in a mental state other than your normal, than your base state. Okay. Because when I'm in a really good mood, I feel like everything's working out, that everything I do seems to be finally, things are kind of going my way. You get lulled into a false sense of confidence, false sense of power and ability. And you think that when you have an idea, you think, yeah, that's definitely going to happen. Everything else seems to be going fine. Like, I've finally cracked it. I've cracked life. I've figured out the solution to be able to be happy and successful. So here's what I'm going to do. And then you say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then guess what? Somehow you find yourself on the other side of that wave. You find yourself in the trough, or even just not on the peak. And it's difficult to get back to that. It's difficult when you can't. It's like it's a mental state. It might be nothing more than that. It might just be a way that you're looking at the world. There might be no tangible difference in your life, no physical difference, nothing that you can actually measure that's different. But your mental state has changed. So it was elevated at one point, and you were full of beans, and you were thinking, yeah, I can pretty much do anything. So you go, do you know what? I'm going to commit to doing something. Let's do it. I can do this. And then you set all these unreasonable expectations of yourself just because the last few days or weeks, if you're lucky, have gone great. you think that, yeah, that's always going to be the case. So you set yourself high expectations. And then when you start to come back down off of that and you go back into your kind of base state, which I'm not saying that that's, you know, a low state, a depressed state. I'm just saying your base state, your base level of productivity, of your base level. Say you're on holiday. You've been off work for ages. You've had an abnormally large amount of free time, and you start thinking, "Yeah, I could really do stuff. Yeah, let's plot all this stuff out. Let's make some plans. Let's make some goals. Like, these are all good things to do, but don't fool yourself into thinking that you can just, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just allow yourself to be romanticized by your current mental state. You have to take an objective view on it. Anyway, the reason I'm saying this is, this is exactly what happens when you try and run a program like this. When things are going great and your life is kind of in control, you feel like, yeah, we can do anything. But let's launch a new series. There's never been a better time to start launching a new series. You know, I've got a little bit of spare time. You know, the listenership is up. Let's just go for it. You know, Joe has gone part-time in his job, so now he's got a couple of days free a week. So he's allegedly got time to devote to the show so that he can kind of contribute stuff to the show and help keep it running, so it's not just me. But that hasn't happened. And that's not his fault, because stuff happens. You know, you make a gap in your life, it'll fill up with the first most pressing thing other than what you were doing previously. So you work full time, you have to work full time, you make a gap. That gap doesn't magically just become preserved for anything you desire, everything you want to go in it. Suddenly it becomes a vacuum for whatever the next thing off the list was. And this is kind of how it works. And if I've learned one thing from this so far, life, it's that I think the worst thing you can do, especially to yourself, but particularly to other people, is to start talking about things that you're going to do. Especially when you're feeling, you know, full of yourself. And that sounds like a really kind of negative message, I suppose. And in a way, I suppose it is, to be honest. But it's a hard lesson to learn, and it's a lesson I need to learn, because it sets unreasonable expectations on yourself. And if you make too much of a habit of it, I think people will start to take you less seriously, because you'll become that person who says, yeah, I've got this great thing I'm going to do. Can't wait to get onto it. You never hear about it again. And then they're onto something else. You know, the next time you speak to them, oh, yeah, no, I'm on, yeah, I know, no, that wasn't working out, that other thing. I'm onto this next thing now. Oh, honestly, this is the real big thing. A few weeks later, no, nothing came of it. And you don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. I want to be someone who is just does it. You know what I mean? Just don't talk about doing it. Just do it. All right? And I don't really know why I'm telling you that right now, to be honest. But I guess in a roundabout way, I'm saying sorry that there's not been that much content out, basically. And I want to make amends for that. I want to sort of, you know, take some steps towards improving that. But I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. Hence why I've just decided to just record this show. I thought, well, Joe and I weren't able to put a show together because a load of stuff happened with his work. And the week before, a load of stuff happened with my work. And so we're basically 2 weeks out, which is pathetically crap, considering come on, it's like an hour. It's an hour. You know, we live in the same town. Okay, we're on the other side of the opposite sides of the town, but you just think, come on. You know, we've got a lot of people who listen to this show. And yet we can't get 1 hour out. We can't get a show. We can't get half an hour out. Seriously? It's insane. So I thought, I'm just going to turn the mics on and do it. And it's not going to be a hilariously funny show because Joe's not here. And yeah, whatever. But anyway, I'm not going to moan like this the whole show. What I thought we'd do is we've had some news watch sent through. I thought we'd pick up on a couple of those because by the time Joe and I get around to doing it, which hopefully is next week, there'll be some more coming through the pipes. If Angus has got anything to do with it, there'll be tons more squirrel news. Thanks, Angus, for sending that through. He's not in Tapas, so I don't know why I'm saying that, but anyway. So, Newswatch, no Newswatch.
You got 20p, mate.
This is, of course, from the Mail online. Now, as much as we criticise the Daily Mail, I suppose, in a way, we owe them a debt of gratitude for providing us content, which almost always results in comedy. Oh, have we already done this one? Did we do the one about the squirrel eating the car? Yeah, I think we did. Okay, here's another one. Okay, it's not squirrel news. It's we haven't done this one. This one is, again, of course, from Daily Mail. I'm not organised at all. I told you this. I told you I wasn't. I was just going to turn the mic on. And it's a show, so, you know, try and enjoy it. Okay, Newswatch, Newswatch, Mail Online, Nut Rage. Korean Air heiress, that's hard to say, whose tantrum halted takeoff when she was served macadamias in a bag instead of on a plate, is handed 1 year prison sentence. All right. Cho Hyun-ah, not her real name, took exception when she was served nuts in a bag and not in a dish. She's clearly a maniac. There's a photo here which looks like it's straight out of a J-horror film like The Grudge. And that's not racist. She genuinely looks terrifying. She's got her hair half over her face. She's looking kind of like she's about to have a stroke. Like her face is like completely dropped. And she's dressed like in black and dark grey and she just looks like a killer. So straight away, yes, completely deserves it. You can tell, it's obvious. Call me quick to judge. Justice Oh said in his ruling that damaged the dignity of the country. Heiress 40 compelled employees to lie to investigators, prosecutors said. All right, okay, let's hear what's happened here then. So, the court said Cho, who was a Korean Air executive vice president at the time, was guilty of forcing a flight to change its route at New York City's JFK Airport and two other charges. The 40-year-old had taken exception to being served macadamia nuts she had not asked for in a bag, not a bowl. She'd not asked for them. Is that what they meant to write there? She'd taken exception to being served macadamia nuts she had not asked for in a bag, not a bowl. So what they're saying is, if you're going to give me things I don't want, I want them in a bowl, please. Not a bag. Don't bring me stuff that I didn't ask for in a bag. If anything, bring me stuff I didn't ask for in a bowl. Which, okay. She ordered the chief flight attendant off the flight, forcing the taxi and plane to return to the gate. She's clearly flipped. Like, she's lost it. She's obviously stress-related, mental breakdown. She's clearly a nutter. The daughter of Korean Air's chairman has been in custody. Okay, they're talking about her again. Right. So how is it she's... Right, okay. The daughter of Korean Air's chairman has been in custody since December the 30th and was charged with forcing a flight to change its normal route and which carries a maximum prison sentence of 10 years. Hold on. Has been in custody since December 30th and was charged with forcing a flight to change its normal route and which carries... That sentence makes no sense. Has been in custody, right? That's that part of that sentence. The Doors of Cremona Air's chairman has been in custody since December 30th, okay, and was charged with forcing a flight to change its normal route. And which cat? There's an extra and in there that doesn't make any sense. And as I click on it, it's asking me to share that selection on Facebook. Brilliant, Daily Mail. Fantastic. I mean, am I being too picky? Or can we just write sentences, please? I'm probably being too picky, to be honest. I don't know why. I don't know. What's wrong with me? The district court in Seoul ruled that Cho had illegally altered the course of the plane, judging that an aircraft was in flight from the moment it begins to move. Okay. Cho, who has been in custody since December 30th, made a grovelling apology above where she bowed her head in shame and said she was sorry following the incident. She had treated the flight as if it was her own private plane, Justice Oh Sung-woo said. It is doubtful that the way the nuts were served was so wrong, Oh added. Oh, what? It is doubtful that the way the nuts were served was so wrong. What? So wrong so as to justify ordering the chief flight attendant off the flight. So what he's suggesting there is that there may be grounds. If the nuts were indeed served wrongly, well, then maybe we can talk. But that's highly doubtful, is what's being said there. Brilliant. Again, fantastic. The judge said Cho had failed to show enough remorse for her actions, even though she had submitted some letters to the court expressing repentance for her behaviour. Cho, who attended the court in a green prison outfit, stood silently throughout the ruling, her head bowed while she was sentenced to 1 year in prison. I mean, that sucks, doesn't it? A year. I mean, there's some more deep-seated issues going on here, clearly. Nobody's that bothered about a bowl over a bag. That's an obvious thing to say, I guess. She had pleaded not guilty to most of the charges, including physically assaulting the chief steward, Park Chang-jin, who says she made him kneel and beg for forgiveness while jabbing him with a service manual. What? The case triggered a huge public backlash, which Justice Oh said had damaged the dignity of the country. She was seen as emblematic of a generation of spoiled and arrogant offspring of owners of the giant family-run conglomerates, or Chaebol, I'm not going to try and pronounce that, that dominate the South Korean economy. Like Cho, many are given senior positions in a family business, sometimes after a token period learning the trade. See, this is the problem. Right, why do people do this? If I had an amazing business, but my son or daughter was cretinous, I wouldn't put what it would be better for them just not to work and me for just to pay them to not work than have them working for me. It would be hideous anyway. Like who really wants to have responsibility for someone, particularly in a senior executive role, that not only you've recommended into company, you've actually just put them there because you're a big boss man. And everyone's looking at you going, it's your fault. Everything she does is your fault. You not only created her, but you've put her there. Like, what? There's no need for that. The risk she carries is far greater than any expense that you would have to pay to just maintain her and let her just go and just let her do her stuff. Oh, but she wants to be an executive. Okay, go and be an executive at another company or work your way up and prove that you can actually do the role. It makes no sense to just appoint someone into a role that they're clearly not fit for. I mean, obviously it doesn't make sense, but I just can't see any good thing that can come out of that. You know what I mean? I can't even try and suspend my disbelief for a second and put myself in the shoes of the people that made those decisions. I just can't see any win. There's no possible win here. You know, there's going to be people climbing over themselves to get into those kind of roles. It's not like they're going to have trouble recruiting someone. There's going to be like 10 people who are qualified in the next level, next tier below, or, you know, in a lower role, who are going to do an amazing job of that, and yet you just put someone in who's entitled and who is obviously going to be less invested because they didn't have to work to get there. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it. But having said that, she did apologize. She also resigned from all her posts and publicly apologized, which her father and Cal chairman Cho Young Ho also criticized as a foolish act. So they're basically backing her up. Oh, no, they're not. No, hold on. Yeah. No, they're not backing around. She backed up her actions and said that the cabin crew in first class have made a mistake by not following proper procedures. Are we still talking about nuts here, though? I'm kind of getting the impression that nuts are only one aspect of this. I mean, the headline is nut rage. I mean, come on. During the incident, which occurred on December 5th, Park Chan-jin, the chief flight attendant, was ordered off the plane by angry Cho following a heated confrontation with cabin crew because she was served nuts in a bag instead of a dish. She was clearly, obviously annoyed at that point. Clearly. Something else had already gone on. Furious that he had not followed protocol, she screamed at Park and told him to bring out the company's in-flight service manual so he could read the proper nuts handling guidelines. When he failed to find it, Cho lost her cool and ordered him off the flight. Without giving the 250 passengers on board a warning, the Incheon-bound plane was forced to return to the gate at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York. The Airbus A380 eventually arrived in South Korea 11 minutes late. In court, Park said he and other staff were treated like feudal slaves by their heiress. And a statement from one crew member described Cho as behaving like an angry tiger. All right. Cho did admit to using violence against one flight attendant by pushing her shoulder and throwing an object at her. She also said she did not realise the chief flight attendant has law enforcement authority during the flight and that by ordering the chief flight attendant off the plane and that by ordering the chief flight attendant off the plane was consequently a risk to safety. Didn't need by there. And that ordering the chief flight attendant off the plane was consequently a risk to safety. Like, it's not hard to just write a sentence, read it back once. One read through. Would have caught that. I think this case happened because of devotion to my work and because I could not be considerate to other people. No, because you're a nutter. During the trial, cabin crew told the court they were pressured by Korean Air executives to cover up the incident and told to lie to investigators. Wow. Related story, macadamia nut sales rose in South Korea after controversy. Macadamia nut sales rose following Cho Hyun-ah's nut rage tantrum. Auction, a South Korean unit of eBay and South Korea's second largest e-commerce website, said last December that sales of macadamia surged nearly 12-fold without any promotions. It also said macadamias previously made up 5% of its nut sales, but said, at the time, they were accounting for almost half. What kind of a maniac just suddenly goes, oh, yeah, I should just go a nut? You know that woman who went crazy, the heiress, on the flight? Yeah. What was that? What was she getting angry about? Nuts. Nuts. That's why I haven't had in ages. Nuts. Oh, yeah, we should get some nuts. Yeah, what nuts specifically was she? Well, it doesn't matter, does it, really? I just fancy some nuts, really. What's your favourite nuts? It doesn't matter what my favourite nut is. Tell me what the nuts, exact type of nuts she was served that caused all the stuff to happen. I don't really know. I can't really see if something. It's just nuts, nut rage. No, I need to know. But why can't we just have nuts? You said you like Brazil nuts best. I know, but I need to know. Okay, it's macadamias. Fine, buy as many as you possibly can. Please. Like, what? I mean, 5% to half? I mean, is it just me? Or is that really the power the media has over you? Like, as soon as you see something or hear about it, you want it. It's macadamias, right, that's it. Nut-wise, everyone's eating macadamias now because of that. Is that really? I mean, maybe it is. Maybe we are actually that powerless. I just... And this is why I don't watch adverts on TV, because apart from the fact that most of them are utterly banal and cretinous to the max and pandering and condescending, they are, though, aren't they? When you sit and watch TV, do you leave the adverts playing? I mute them. Does that make me an old man? My wife sometimes laughs at me because that's the kind of thing an older man would do. I suppose, I'm 32. I'm not an older man. And I've been doing that for years, like as long as I can remember. As soon as the show goes to a break that I'm watching, I'm looking for the mute. I'm looking for the remote control. Give me the remote, mute it, because I don't need to hear about charming, like I don't need to see a koala bear. I mean, what? Why does there need to be a cartoon character? Kids aren't buying charming. Kids are not buying no kids buy toilet paper ever. Why is there a cuddly koala bear selling me toilet paper? What emotion is that supposed to evoke in me? What is the aim of that marketing message? Okay, I get what it is, right? It's softness, right? But when I think of softness, I'm not thinking of a koala bear. I'm pretty sure a koala bear would eat your face. Like, my image in my mind of a koala bear is on a tree, like stuck to a tree. Just gripping a tree. And if you go near it, it's going to gnaw off your... Like, it's not... There's softer things than koala bears, isn't there? I mean, a cat. What about a cat? Cats aren't even that cuddly, are they? I mean, there's loads of cuddly stuff. Koalas, that's so niche. Like, we don't even have koalas here. Why are we suddenly going, oh, look, they've got an Australian mammal selling that. That sounds fantastic. What's the name of that toilet paper brand that has the Australian mammal on it? I don't know. Is it Cushelle or something like that? Yeah, Cushelle. Yeah, we need some of that. Well, why? I don't know. It looks good. Why does it look good? Well, why does it look good? Because he just looks so comfy, doesn't he? Have you been to the website? Yeah, he's no, of course I haven't. No crazy, even the most crazy people don't go to the Cushelle website, do they? I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Do you ever see these adverts? And you just, but they pass, the thing is they pass you by. Like, if you ever stop and actually look, actually think about what you're watching on these adverts. This is brain dead. But do you know what? My fear is that it works. Like that macadamia nut example, like that 5 to 50%. And that wasn't even marketing. And yet all this subliminal messaging, it's not even subliminal actually, is it? But in a way I think it is, because... Yeah, you may not be directly watching it. You might be watching a program and it goes to adverts, so you have a little chat with your whoever, your wife, husband, kids. But in the background, these adverts are playing and the jingles are playing, and you've heard that advert like 10 times, and you've heard it 10 times more than you realize you've heard it. And that music is triggering in your brain patterns and reactions and memory associations to that jingle that tie you to that product. And they're designed to make you think of that product. And it might be a terrible product. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't been recommended it by a friend or someone you trust. You've had it played at into your face. You've had it drilled into you. And your kids are just sucking it all up. I mean, what are we doing? Here's an advert, right? Cushelle, soft work. Like, I haven't seen this one before. I probably have, but... Okay, so the koala bear is playing a video game of themselves, and they've got a gun in their hand, and and they're running around shooting trees, and as they shoot the trees, they go from like pixelated to like cushion type thing, and then a butterfly picks them up, and now spiky things are flying towards them, and now they've shot a big cube of toilet paper in the air, and then they just jump up in front of it.
Soft world, you win.
Cashel soft world, you win. I'm stunned. I don't know how to react to that. You know what I mean? Like, reactions are usually just things that happen. But after watching that, I don't know how to react. I'm completely numb to it. I don't know what that wanted me to do. I mean, they're calling it the new gamified koala ad. $278,953. And you know what? That's not the most disturbing thing. The most disturbing thing is that 80 people clicked like on this advert. I just don't. I just don't get it. But this is totally programming. I mean, maybe I'm mental. Sensationalizing it, but I think this is dangerous stuff. I think it's harmful. It's taking over bits of our brains. You know what I mean? When you watch some TV channels, there's like four advert breaks per hour or more. Like, do you ever watch a show and like you're like 7 minutes in, it's like, well, we'll be right back. What do you mean be right? You haven't been here. Be right back. No, do something. Then maybe you can go away and we'll have a look at your sponsors. Do something, though. Don't just go, hey, welcome to the show. So we're going to be doing this and that and the other, but I'll be right back. Like, that happens all the time. Coming up on the show, this, that and the other, be right back. What? The theme music just ended. Like, I don't... to be honest, I hardly ever watch TV. I feel like a lot of people now are just stopping watching TV because it's a joke. It is just dreadful. All the best stuff you would just get on demand. And that's where it needs to go. Like, we need to get somewhere where it's just all on demand and you don't ever, ever have to watch adverts. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not, you know, I know a lot of people would just say, why are you watching TV? And, you know, just torrent it, just download the shows you want. You never have adverts. Like, I get people tell me about they've rigged up this complex system whereby, and I know this one guy, he says, I've got this all set up on my computer at home. He's got like a hard drive where he gets like a notification on his phone on some app when a new show is out, and he can just like go, yeah, download it. Or it can just be automatically downloading, you know, all his favorite shows, and it's all just downloaded and it's saved on the hard drive. He's got like hundreds and hundreds of shows just there for free. Isn't that great? Well, I say, no, it isn't actually. I don't think it is great. You know, I've torrented stuff before. And I get it. Okay. You want to watch something with a decent internet connection, you can be watching it in like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Okay. Fine. But I mean, why are we still doing this? You know, on demand isn't a new concept. Why are we not at a place now where we can get all these shows without having to circumvent, without even having to do stuff that's illegal? Like, you know, the bottom line is, it's illegal and it's stealing. And yeah, people will go, it's copying, it's not theft, because you haven't taken the original thing, you've just made a copy of it, and that's fine, it's a victimless crime. It's not a victimless crime because when you steal, when we download stuff all the time, that when everyone's downloading stuff for free and ripping studios off, people are, the services which provide, services like Netflix, which is pretty good for a lot of things like TV, products like that are not going to flourish, are not going to, IP providers are not going to give their content to Netflix if they're losing stacks of money because people are downloading their stuff for nothing, because they think, well, the money's not there, because most people are just ripping, just downloading it. But it's just such a good deal. Like, Netflix is like $5.99 or something like that. It's no more than like £6-7. And there's more content on there than you could ever watch. And if you're watching Netflix and going, yeah, I've watched them all, you've spent way too much time watching TV, first of all. And it's just right there. It's on demand. It's high def. Like, why do you need to download stuff? But there is a good reason. Unfortunately, there shouldn't be, but there is. It's because half the stuff that's in the public, Game of Thrones, for instance, all the stuff that's on, like, HBO, there's no easy way of getting that. You have to sign up to, like, HBO Go, which is, like, I don't even know. It's kind of some online thing. It's all based in the US. You can't easily get it to your TV. Like, why can't we just have a service which just has it all? You know, everything you want. Like, we'll pay for it. I mean, how much would you pay to just have it all at your fingertips? On your remote control, you just browse to all your favorite shows. And yeah, there'll always be people who won't want to pay, and they'll just be like, oh, well, why would I pay when I can just get it for free? Or good one. Or why don't you, I mean, if you could go up to the shop right now, walk in, grab as much stuff as you wanted, and just walk out, and no one stopped you, but you were on your honour not to just go and nick stuff, because that's the wrong thing to do, you're robbing shop owners, would you do it? And yeah, probably a lot of people go, yeah, I would. But most people, I think, who torrent stuff, wouldn't. And, you know, again, I've downloaded stuff, but I would only do that. I wouldn't do that if there was services which provided that kind of, which provided an alternative that's easy. And I think the more we just download and rip off stuff, the less value is invested in these companies that are trying to provide a decent on-demand service. It seems counterintuitive. It seems counterproductive to just do that. And the same with, like, I mean, ripping off movies, you know, downloading movies before they come out in the cinema or as they come out in the cinema. You're probably watching a terrible copy, like it's been filmed in the cinema. What are you doing? I mean, just go and watch it. Just go and watch it. You know, we've forgotten to go and do stuff. Like, oh, I can just have it all in my house. Great. So you're just going to stay in your house and never go out. Again, like, if you could have everything delivered to your house, well, you can now, actually. And there are people who just never go out. I mean, Amazon sells, like, everything. You can get groceries from Amazon. I mean, you can get your groceries delivered from Tesco. Like, yeah, let's just not go out. Let's just keep going this way. And then we all end up basically being like those guys on that film WALL-E, where we go around in chairs, if we go around anywhere, and everything's just given to us, and we become massive jellies. Like, why can't we just spend a bit of money on stuff that's good? You know, even that in itself, okay, laying all the other stuff to one side, laying all the legalities and moral issues, blah, 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 to one side. What happened to just going, do you know what? Some things are worth spending money on. Like, oh, yeah, but Universal Pictures, they've got millions of pounds. Like, they don't need any more money. What do you mean? Like, they're creating an amazing product. Like, you can't create that product. I can't. No one you know can, and no one you'll ever know can do it, even if you know people that work there. Do you know why? Because this has come about through years and years of development and innovation. Somebody once had an idea to start a company, and they've cultivated it and grown it and marketed it. I'm not saying they're perfect people, but where a film studio is, like, it takes a lot to get there. And yeah, they're rich. They should be rich. Look what they're doing. And yeah, the actors in it, they get paid loads. Like, yes, because they're awesome. You know, even if you're not a fan, like you could take the worst Hollywood actor, you could go, he's rubbish, he's terrible. So, but he's still way better than you will ever, ever be at acting. And you might go, well, no, I'm classically trained. Like, well, I mean, where's your movie then? You know what I mean? Just pay the money and just get over it. Like, what are you going to do with that money? What are you going to do with that money? You know, you can pay for a movie on demand from like Sky or Virgin or whatever. It's like £4. I'll just download it. Like, what's your time worth to do that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm just ranting. Ranting? I don't even know why I got off on one there, to be honest. Something's just kind of rubbed me up the wrong way. Should we do another news story and then I will leave? And you can all send me messages about how much this story made you feel. I'll be interested to see how it made you feel, to be honest. Okay, Nina News Watch, one more. 9-year-old student suspended for Lord of the Rings sorcery. Okay, this isn't actually the Daily Mail this time. This is the Sun Times by Nick Kotecki. 9-year-old fourth grader Aidan Stewart bought a replica of the One Ring from J.R.R. Tolkien lore to school and was suspended Thursday for attempting some Lord of the Rings-esque sorcery on one of his fellow classmates. Is that why he was suspended? He was suspended for attempting sorcery. What specific type of sorcery was that exactly? It was Lord of the Rings-esque, actually. Oh, right. Gosh. Stewart allegedly claimed he could make a student invisible by placing the ring on his friend's head. So just to remind you, he's 9 years old. Okay, so try and bear that in mind. He allegedly claimed he could make a student invisible. He never would have said the word student. He's nine. He would have not used the word student. By placing the ring on his friend's head, similar to characters in The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit films and books. Nope, that's not how it works, is it? They put them on their finger, then they're invisible. So he's got that wrong. Officials at Kermit Kermit Elementary School. This is not a real place. Kermit, as in Kermit the Frog. Kermit Elementary. Is this a wind-up? I think this is actually real. Do you know what? This is one of these sites as well that is every other paragraph has a link in it. Like, the part I just read was suspended Thursday for attempting some Lord of the Rings S sorcery. It links to another news site with the same story. Like, it's linked to Yahoo Parenting, some other OA online, the Mail on... No, it hasn't linked to the Mail online. Like, My Daily... What? What are we doing? We're just, like, bouncing this same story around the net? Kermit Elementary School. That's hilarious. Reportedly labelled Stewart's magical antic a terroristic threat. You have heard of terrorists, right?
Hiya, Dad.
Hi.
These new Walker's cheesy mix-ups.
This is what I'm talking about.
In one bag. Monster Munch. Love those.
I don't know what page this is on. Oh. This is what I'm talking about. Walker's crisps. Who doesn't know about crisps? Like, why do you need to be advertised to for crisps? We got it, crisps. Anyone not familiar with crisps? A terroristic threat. Just a weekend before, Stewart had watched The Hobbit, A Battle of the Five Armies with his family, inspiring him to boast he had the One Ring to rule them all. Yep, that's called pretending it's what kids do. The boy's father told the Daily News, that's linked as well. Kids act out movies that they see. When I watched Superman as a kid, I went outside and tried to fly. I assure you, my son lacks the magical powers necessary to threaten his friend's existence. If he did, I'm sure he'd bring him right back. I like this guy. I like him. Sense of humour. School officials have declined to comment. I wonder why. The boy's father has requested written documentation by the school district stating the reason for his son's removal from classes. Stewart has been courting controversy at his school since he arrived in the Kermit Independent School District 6 months ago. Is Kermit a place then? Like, could I go to Google Maps and type in Kermit and he'd be there? Oh, please let there be a place called Kermit. Ah, nothing's coming up. Did it say? Yeah, Kermit, Texas. That's awesome. Kermit, Texas. West Winkler Street. BJ's Crafts and Collectibles. Okay, maybe it's just me that tickles. He previously received a suspension. He's been suspended 3 times and he's only 9. Jeez, man. Links to another one. Same story. He previously received a suspension for referring to a student as black. What? And for bringing his favourite book to school, according to the New York Daily News. So he referred to a student as black. Was he black? Doesn't say, does it? And for bringing his favourite book to school, or what did he do? Just go, hey, you're black. Like, there's no context there. And for bringing his favourite book to school, he was suspended because that book, titled The Big Book of Knowledge, contained a section on pregnancy and an illustration of a pregnant, can't talk, and an illustration of a pregnant woman. The book is an encyclopedia specifically geared toward children. He loves that book, his father said. They were studying the solar system and he took it to school. He thought his teacher would be impressed. She's not impressed. She's not impressed. Why? We don't know. It's just disappointment all round, really, there, isn't it? Meanwhile, Madonna reveals she dated Tupac. So there's something to mull over. In the old noggin. Is that a bit quiet, that outro? I don't know. So there you go. There's 45 minutes of sheer fun. Yeah, so it's the weekend. Tuesday, Joe and I will be planning to record the next show, so hopefully he'll be back and you'll get to hear his lovely voice and his amazing powers of echo absorption, apparently, which I'm sure you'll all enjoy. Send in your news watch podcast at theabsolutepeach.com. If you enjoyed this show, let me know. Ben@theabsolutepeach.com. It would be good to know if you wanted to do more impromptu shows like this. See you next time.